Toward the end of last week, I asked the question on social media, what are some strange words or phrases Christians use? And I love the response. There was a chunk of words that you would only use at a Bible study, like eschatology, soteriology, orthodoxy, hermeneutic, pericope. Come on. And there's other like church building words like narthex or sacristy or sanctuary. Words that we use all the time without thinking about their meaning, like grace or thou, beget, love on, create a hedge of protection or lifting up brothers and sisters. And then there were the platitudes, these poor theology phrases that we use, like it was in God's plan or it happened for a reason, or God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And for somebody pulling up a seat at the table of Jesus followers, they can get lost in the language of a religion really quickly. I do. Building a bigger table doesn't mean that we throw all of this helpful language out, but it might mean that we change a few things to ensure that we're building a table that fully adopts and welcomes others into the conversation. And so this week, as we continue our Bigger Table series, I'm going to encourage you to recognize the importance of setting the table so every person can enjoy and participate in the meal. In a culture that tries to find that quick fix shortcut to the detriment of long-term vitality and authenticity, we must be willing to take a hard look at the way that we're setting the table, both personally and communally. Think about all the shortcuts that can be taken in my house during the school day with virtual school. There's this real temptation to ask Siri and Alexa to find the quick fix answers, and Google will even type for you if you don't feel like it. How on earth could the constant abuse of these tools end poorly, right? Well, just wait until the internet goes down. Setting the table doesn't mean that there's just a place for everyone. That's easy, setting a place. But a table that is built on the knowledge that each of us has been gifted a spot at the table through our mutual adoption, see last week, by Jesus, means that we don't just have a chair, but we have a voice, and the community responds and values to what the table mates bring with them. Now, another way to say this is that we are setting the table for intentional community. And Jesus's intentional community has some hallmarks that are unchanging because they reflect who and how Jesus welcomes to the table. And so his bigger table protects the vulnerable, embraces the outsider, recognizes the neglected, and heals the broken. How then are we a community that is mindful of the vulnerable, outsider, and broken in our midst? We have to learn the language of grace. That's the first step. And so here's where our scripture comes in. But let's start with an understanding that comes in chapter 12. You see, Jesus was shaking some stuff up and was expanding the law in places, like when he was working on the Sabbath. He was casting out demons and creating quite a stir. And so when he went to deliver this message and preach in parables to this crowd, it was likely those who were gathering at the shore were Jewish people who wanted some of that sweet, sweet Messiah goodness that Jesus was doling out that day. Maybe it was a healing. Heck, maybe he was going to bring the kingdom of God here and now today. Perhaps this speech will be the one that kicked off that military campaign to overthrow the Romans. Who knows what they were expecting? But no matter what this was going to be, the people were all over it. And what does Jesus do? He teaches about some reckless farmer planting seeds all over the land, not just to spread in the good soil, but all over. Jesus teaches about this farmer who spreads seed throughout the land, and the farmer is generous with the seed, and it falls upon different kind of soil. Now, author N.T. Wright reflects, that this passage seems fitting, because no one on that shoreline would have missed the underlying meaning of what Jesus was saying. Yes, he was saying that what you have been longing for and praying for really is coming true, and that I am here to make it happen, Jesus said. It's going to be hard for you to understand. But that doesn't mean that it isn't true. So stick with me, listen to me, and figure it out, and then come back for more. Jesus knows that many are coming to the table doing little preparation for what is being offered. They had an expectation of one thing, and Jesus was serving up something completely different. The majority of the crowd may have missed what Jesus was saying because they just hadn't done that sous chef prep work before tilling the soil of their hearts so that they might let the seeds of God's love and grace take root in their very being. So if I were to retell this story, this parable, in our table context, it might sound something like this. Once there was a renowned chef who was making a meal and sparing no expense. And when it came time to serve this once-in-a-lifetime culinary creation, she saw that the guests were in various states of readiness for the meal. As she came out of the door, some saw that the meal that had been prepared wasn't what they expected and left before the first course. And the chef noticed that some sat with their hands out, so their portion was placed in their palms, and yet much of the meal ran through their fingers. Others brought a to-go container so that they could eat while racing to their next meeting or event. But the nature of the meal caused indigestion because it was eaten without thought or reflection. And yet there was this final group that sat ready to receive the meal, with a plate and utensils ready in hopes that they may savor the fullness of the experience at the table. Today we're invited to set the table by learning the language of the meal through study and intentionality with God and our table mates in order to get the most out of our time together. When we set up the bigger table, we help everyone enjoy the meal as much as possible. This doesn't mean that we bend down to the lowest common denominator, but rather that we set the table in a way that encourages everyone to experience the richness of what the table is offering. And this offering is twofold. We get to encounter the Holy Spirit working in, among, and through us, as well as learning from our table mates about their encounters with God. And that's a blessing. You know, when I think about setting the table well, I think about holiday gatherings at my parents' house. My mom loves to put out little cards by each of the dishes. Notes about what the dish is and any potential allergies that might be in there are on the cards. But additionally, there are times where there are short descriptions, or she'll explain to us what that dish is, encouraging us to explore new foods and this culinary experiment that she has gone through. This is what it means to be setting a bigger table, that we put at ease those who haven't been there before. We make new experiences accessible for those who are trying new things. And we experiment as a community to discover these new encounters with one another if we're ready to receive the gift of the meal. Like the crowds on the lakeshore on that day, our job is to read and prepare our hearts, prepare the table in hopes that we might discover something new in this meal with God and our table mates. It won't always be easy, but Christianity isn't about cozy little lessons to make us feel better. It's about what God is doing in the world, what God has already done through Jesus, and what God wants to do through each and every one of us today. Learning the language of God through study and preparation helps us prepare our hearts and the table to enjoy the richness of the Spirit at this bigger table. And so this week, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, whatever. But I'd love to hear from you about what you're studying and how you're opening yourself up to the new things that God might be doing in your life. Share with me in what ways you are helping prepare a table, set a table that protects the vulnerable through our words and deed, embraces the outsider with genuine concern and care for them. A table that recognizes the neglected by valuing what they bring to the table. And healing the broken by offering empathy and going out of our way to make sure that they make their way to the table. As we set the table that is worthy of the King, our utensils, our tools, our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. In these things, we set the table that Jesus would be proud to be a part of because it's accessible to each and every person that has been made in God's own image. Friends, this week, may we set the table well, inviting others in that they may be comfortable and that they might be ready to explore the vastness of what God has to offer with each and every one of us, so that we might leave the table changed, better, and have a more abundant and hopeful outlook on what this season of life brings. May we go in peace. Amen.